Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Freedom Foil Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Joe, and I am joined by my beautiful co-host, Mary.
Hey, guys.
Man, you perked right up for that intro.
We just
left the gym, and
it's been a minute, and
it has been a minute.
It has been, and I won't throw excuses out, but I mean, it's been a minute. I got sick. Your mom came to visit.
Big C again.
Yeah,
we won't say the name out of fear of getting taken off all platforms.
But. Yeah, but yeah, it's been a minute. So yeah. not to say any excuses, but you know. Life gets in the way. Life it gets busy.
And of course, as we always say, this isn't our full-time gig. Although one day, you never know.
One day, guys.
We could be sitting in a ginormous tinfoil mansion, protected from the radio waves.
That actually sounds terrible.
Doing
and you know what it reminds
the
me?
The Freedom Foil Podcast.
It reminds me of the episode of SpongeBob when they're in the future.
And everything's super
chrome.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say stainless, but it's all chrome.
They go around and they spray it, remember?
Yeah, because one thing grows and the little truck pulls up. And
everything's
got to
be shiny. And that's when Squidward's all curled up. Future.
And then he goes into that weird
elevator.
Remember the dimension where everything's just white? And
yeah,
just
remember
nothing?
He's in that weird elevator?
Yeah.
And the elevator's taking him to all these weird Oh, no, he's time traveling in the elevator.
Subliminal.
It's my time travel.
We're in a simulation.
Well, that was quite an intro.
Well, episode 18. Before we get started with episode 18 and what it is, though, we have to give our shameless plug. If you would like to see us and see cool posts, then you can follow us on the Freedom Foil Instagram account. There is no spaces. Just type in Freedom Foil. And our faces should pop right up for you to follow. Mary does a really great job there with some awesome stories. I chime in as well. We both answer DMs. So if you want to shoot us a question or if you want to hear a topic that we haven't talked about yet, we love that stuff, especially the topic recommendations. There's a ridiculous amount of conspiracies, but sometimes it gets a little overwhelming trying to choose which one. So you guys help us out with that. And then, of course, every 100 followers, we do a live stream. So you guys can ask us questions live and everything like that. And of course, if you want to see any gun-related content, you can check out all my links for Firearm Freedom, which are also in the bio.
Sweet. Let's get into it.
The Majestic 12.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 18.
Give us a little a two-sentence roundup.
Well, we're getting into the UFO world here, and actually the Roswell, New Mexico weather balloon, or
I want to believe.
The truth is out there, Mulder.
Yeah, but what's the poster, that famous poster?
I want to believe.
Yeah.
I think.
With the UFO in the background?
Oh, we got to look it up. Yes, that is the poster. We just looked it up and verified it. I think we're going to have another debate on this one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because you were already talking about how much you liked it, right?
Yeah, but you don't know why. So a little overview. This organization is claimed to be the code name Majestic 12 of an alleged secret committee made up of scientists, military leaders, and government officials formed in 1947 by an executive order from U.S. President Harry S. Truman to facilitate recovery and investigation of alien spacecraft.
So as far as the original documents that we'll get into in a second here, they were dated 1947, but they were found in when, 1984?
Yeah, I guess the article, Slate article we're referencing says, but as far as hard evidence goes, it begins in 1984.
And this is where it gets debatable. So, yeah, in 1984, documentary producer Jamie Shandera, I think is how you say his name, he supposedly was reading a magazine at his house, and then a mysterious envelope was dropped through his mail slot. And in the envelope which bore a New Mexico postmark, of course, because Roswell, New Mexico, and it only contained a roll of undeveloped film. Now, he apparently was not a ufologist himself, but he supposedly took the mysterious film with him to dinner with a friend, and the friend was an avid conspiracy theorist, William Moore, and basically once Moore heard of the whole weird, they dropped an envelope in the mailbox, they left dinner, went to his house to develop the images, and that's where the Majestic 12 story begins.
But the pictures were not of people or places or aliens, but they were actually 8 pages of classified documents. So apparently these top secret pages told this explosive story that, if it was true, not only confirmed the New Mexico Roswell UFO crash incident, but also detailed the people behind its research and a cover-up.
Right. And the Majestic 12 stands for actually 12 government officials, scientists, and military men that were part of basically a task force to deal with UFO-related situations.
The OG Men in Black, it said.
The OG Men in Black. Now, there is like a totally separate conspiracy in regards to Men in Black, and the deep red and black pillars will definitely know what the Men in Black is, and that this is slightly different. This is not the same thing. The article is basically referencing that it's like the movie, you know, Men in Black, and dealing with all the aliens and stuff.
But although, and, like, the more I think about it, it's really not like that at all. So this kind of...
I mean, it kind of is.
Not really.
How is
it's not? These scientists in Majestic 12 are gathered to debunk this, not to go, like, the Men in Black...
No, and also to cover it up.
Well... Okay.
No, dude, what are you talking about? Not so, debunk it.
According to get specific about who was on this team, if you will, according to the documents, members of the original 12 included...
MJ-12.
Sorry,
get it right.
MJ-12 included Dr.
Have fun reading all these names.
Vannevar Bush, an inventor, engineer, and head of the U.S. Office of Scientific Research and Development during World War II. Retired Admiral Sidney Sowers, the first director of the CIA. Dr. Donald Menzel, theoretical astrophysicist and avid UFO debunker. So there's just a couple high-level names. So you have a military official, first director of the CIA, and an astrophysicist, also avid UFO debunker. So that just gives you an idea of the diversity of occupations that these members held. And I guess the idea in my eyes is President Truman putting this together as like almost like a task force to...
Yeah.
So, okay, I won't say debunking, but I'll say to manage the UFO situation.
Right. Now, you could argue that they are debunking it to the public. I don't mean like that they're reporting back to Truman saying, oh no, this didn't actually happen. They're just shielding it from the public's eyes.
Right.
You know, but I mean, that for me, that's where I start to go off the rails with this theory, because typically speaking, most, if not almost every president is just a puppet in everything. So the fact that this supposed document claims this was all set up by Truman and he was the mastermind behind
involved.
It and that he, you know, was like their only report that they had to go to immediately throws up red flags to me,
totally,
because I'm
agree.
Like, I mean,
I totally agree. I think in a lot of respects with things like this, and outside of conspiracy theories, presidents are used,
as puppets,
but they create these task force, if you will, like with all the assassinations we mentioned, there's this like task force that's put together to investigate. Like, I don't really know the level of involvement of the president rather than like choosing who's going to be on the task
force.
Right.
And the involvement of three letter agencies, I think, goes far above
100%.
The president. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's we'll get into it further, but we should also state that this is a ginormous debate in the UFO community.
Not like, even among like
ginormous
among conspiracy theorists themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, so it's like, cause I was reading that and I'm like, wow, that's, I find that very interesting because most of the topics we covered, it's usually a pretty, you know, complete consensus of,
on the conspiracy side,
either conspiracy theorists are all on the same team and then like the real world is on their own team. But this seems to have even split up the conspiracy ufologists.
Well,
it
does. And I think it's because you have a lot of people that view this as official proof of, you know, extraterrestrial existence. Not only that, but actual proof from the government that, you know, Roswell, New Mexico, which is kind of the first mainstream big UFO sighting.
I didn't even know
right,
about that.
Right. So it's kind of it's almost overplayed at this point, but in the community they view this as the truth, you know, as the ability to prove that was accurate and not a weather balloon.
Well, let's get into those documents. So Sandra and Moore, which are the people that we referenced earlier that received this mysterious film that they then developed and found these documents. So yeah, Chandra and Moore will spend years trying to verify and validate these documents that have fallen into their laps. And as we mentioned, you know, this ufology community really does become pretty polarized in their views and opinions of it. Specifically, prominent member of this ufology community, skeptic Philip Klass, began to point out flaws and inconsistencies in these top secret papers.
And we should state that by skeptic, he's not a conspiracy skeptic. He's a skeptic of the Majestic 12.
Specifically.
Yes. Yeah.
So you want to go over some of those inconsistencies?
Yeah. So I actually read the documents.
Oh,
on
you're
the
so cool.
I knew
I
you
swear
were going
to
say
God,
that, dude.
Joe's always going to be like, I actually read the documents, so.
Okay, whatever. Sorry, I'm going above and beyond
for
our viewers, okay?
God.
Okay? You know, I just try so hard.
It's so funny because Joe's the last person to ever be like a teacher's pet or like overachiever in school. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, he's like, did you read the actual papers?
Well, and, you know, they're pretty hard to get through, of
no
course.
No shit.
Of course. And
another reason why I don't read them.
And I'll be honest with you, that to me, they don't really say shit. Like, I mean, they don't, like, it's so just bare. It's just bare. I mean, they're just, hey, these are the people, it's a task force, there was a crash in New Mexico, done. I mean, there's no detail, there's no, like, you know, it claims in the documents that there were actual photos, like, attached somewhere in the original documents of the spacecraft, of the aliens that were out of the spacecraft that, you know, died on impact and all these other things. But they're also pointing out more flaws, like the use of the term media, as opposed to the term press, which again, we're talking 1947. So typically media, you know, wouldn't have been the term rather than press, which I do agree. You know, and also, Philip Klass is stating, you know, that there's a lot of other inconsistencies with other standard government briefs of the time, you know? So if you compare those, they sounded a little bit more modern, whereas original briefs that are verified from the time and declassified just don't add
or
even up.
Just like from I also think he's like pointing out like that, like if you were to, so say the FBI puts together briefs, they always are going to probably work off of some sort of template,
right?
You know, date here, title here, page numbers here, whatever it may be. And he saw some inconsistencies there, but also too, which I thought was interesting, that he found incorrect ranks assigned to the members of the group within the documents,
right?
Which is also interesting, but could also be argued because a lot of these men, you know, I went through a couple of their names. They've changed titles pretty consistently throughout their career and their time in the military in the government.
Now, the other thing too that I could say is the argument could be thrown on the other side of like, well, you know, this is some secret organization that's dealing with aliens. Of course, the format may be a little different and we, you know, we're not seeing a lot of things like that. So I think the opposing side takes that stance mainly on the argument. Now, I'm not saying I believe in that. I'm just saying that that's typically what the opposers say. Now, the other huge, most damning issue is what?
One of probably the main points that is following the inconsistencies here is from Carl Sagan. So he's the author of the book The Demon Haunted World: Science as a Candle in the Dark. He says in his book, where the MJ-12 documents are most vulnerable and suspect, it's exactly on this question of provenance. The evidence miraculously dropped on a doorstep like something out of a fairy story, perhaps the shoemaker and the elves. So interesting, his point being,
Moore was basically soon presumed the perpetrator of the hoax. And that's where,
right,
you know.
So he's saying, basically Sagan is saying, okay, you're telling me that these classified documents get just thrown in someone's mail slot.
Well, more specifically, like a producer of movies and other things, yes, in this category, and it dropped on his doorstep.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could argue if somebody wanted to get the truth out, again, trying to look at it and playing devil's advocate as the opposing side, I'm sure they would say, well, you know, somebody dropped it to him because he had the means to spread the information and get it out.
Or maybe there's more to that story. Like, if it's really true and really Moore did come across this information, or I should say Chandra, really came across this information, maybe it happened in a more, you know, I don't know, meticulous way, where Chandra and Moore did some illegal activity and they're just trying to spread that, like, oh, it just fell in our mailbox.
Could be. I mean, that's also a good point. I didn't even think about it, like, from that perspective.
What are they going to say? Hey, we broke into this building, or we were, you know, eavesdropping on whatever. Like,
but still, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess every theory ultimately originates from, like, one source, you know, if you keep digging and keep digging. But whenever we trace this stuff back and start doing research and it comes back to one individual, especially in more modern times, I almost always opt to call bullshit.
Especially when they're not, like, I think a lot of conspiracies that hold truth to a lot of people, it's like the person that exposed it was a former CIA member or a former FBI agent or former Secret Service or whatever it is, that they, like, had this, like, in on these government agencies, that they had access to certain documents or information that they then exposed, right? So, like, yeah, that's a little bit more believable than, like, this random documentary filmmaker
coming out with it. Now, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say, so, like, when a retired, like, first of all, I don't think you're ever retired from the CIA officially, but, you know, like, if they're out and let's say they're talking on a podcast or something, we've talked about this in the episode about Northwoods, like, for them, I believe that they are covering up the one truth with 1,000, you know, untruths, and they're just spouting a bunch of bullshit to cover things up, or else they would be dead. Because if they were talking about legit things, they would be silenced. There's absolutely no way. But when it comes to this, you could also argue that they would care less about a random conspiracy theorist person, which is why they're left to run their mouth, because, you know, who would believe them? Like we talked about with that one dude in the Denver airport episode, like, who had all the crystals all over him and stuff, and and he was apparently working at Area 51.
Yes.
That's a prime example of, like, who would believe that guy.
Right, you know what I mean? Right.
But still, in this case,
like, maybe they didn't see Chandra and Moore as a threat.
Correct. Yeah, because, like, why does it matter?
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that you are putting your entire belief in this theory on this one dude. And this one dude makes money off of, you know, content like this. So it's, you really got to start questioning, like, is this legit or is it not legit?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think it would have to be, I think where this actually started is more important than the actual documents themselves, especially because the documents don't really have a lot of,
yeah,
like, meat on the bone type of thing.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's there. It's right out there. They're like, yes, there was a craft.
But you know what? You could also argue that if it's just these two random guys, like, and they were making it up, why wouldn't they have just gone, like, nuts with it? Why wouldn't they just have included,
to try to make it believable?
Maybe. You know? Or they would have at least put something in there, like some sort of, like, Easter egg that's like, oh my God, that's insane. Like,
yeah,
why would they talk about the most relevant and famous UFO crash that doesn't make any sense.
I guess. I mean, regardless, these documents started to gain so much traction that they started spreading to other parts of the country. And ultimately, they wound up at an FBI headquarters, basically. So some guy, I'm pretty sure, found it on like a college campus, or it was given to him, the documents. And, you know, him being obviously the snitch to the feds that he is, was like, oh, I should go hand this right to the FBI and make sure no one's a threat to national security.
Yeah, by the late 1980s, the FBI and the Air Force have gotten wind of the Majestic 12 documents and launched investigation, which the Air Force Officer of Special Investigations looked into the matter before handing it over to the FBI around 1988. Their investigators were able to determine that the pages were, quote unquote, bogus.
Yeah, and...
Which is hilarious. You'll see.
This is where it gets stupid.
We linked it. We linked the actual official FBI documents, and you can see on each page the FBI just wrote in a big Sharpie, bogus, bogus, bogus.
On each fucking page.
Actually really funny.
You can't see like a few words because they wrote bogus all over it. The funny thing is, so the documents looked real enough that they launched a full-scale investigation to see if there was a national security breach and if classified documents got out to the public before they were declassified. So, like, obviously it was good enough that the FBI looked into it, right? So there's that, it has that going for it. Now, some people say that because they did not redact anything out of the documents themselves, that they are actually showing you the truth, but it is because they don't redact it that it makes you think like, oh, that can't be the truth, or else they would redact it.
Yeah, there's an argument that, like, obviously if you were not to respond, so from the FBI point of view, so if they're not going to respond, that they're kind of in a way saying like that it holds some truth, but that by responding they would...
Well, it says right here, you know, it was almost like the FBI was sick of talking about it. It was just kind of annoying to them. And they also weren't really sure how to respond. So I quote here, if you don't respond, then it seems as though you are confirming the conspiracy theorists and you're leaving these theories out there. And then if you do respond, you can't truly debunk the conspiracy theory and you're giving it more oxygen. There's almost no way to successfully respond to it. So that's prompted them to do the bogus
much like damned if you do, damned if you don't, like, right. Their situation, which, oh, boo, freaking who, yeah. sorry that you have to look into this, right. You know what I mean?
Now, I will say the stupidest part is that
I feel like I literally am just picturing some guy in the FBI, like,
so
I am so fucking done with this fucking Majestic 12, and he's just like losing it, and he's just writing bogus, and there's just papers are just flying all over the office, and everyone's like, shit, Bob really lost it today with the Majestic 12.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, I don't know, the stupidest part about it, and this is so like FBI and government, they redacted their comments on the bogus documents. So all the documents are not redacted. And then they're like, and such and such from redacted believes that such and such is redacted, redacted, redacted.
I bet
and their
you,
belief of the redacted.
Again, like, I bet you they redacted their names and all of this shit because they don't want to hear about it and they don't want to be brought into it again.
Right. So it's just stupid that, like, I don't know. Like, it's just like the whole thing is a little ridiculous. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it was definitely taken as truth to a lot of people in the UFO community. You can see it in a bunch of other shows, especially like our favorite, The X-Files. Such a good show. Absolutely love the show so much. And then also, of course, in Men in Black, the movie. But some people to this day still absolutely believe in the documents. So,
and I guess that this article mentions that there actually have been further documents that surface claiming to support these originals, but they haven't really gained footing in the conspiracy theory world. I think that these original documents have become so kind of like, not taboo, but it's kind of like so mainstream that it's like, if you're a conspiracy theorist speaking to another theorist and you bring it up, it's kind of like, dude, been there, done that. Like, there's so much other shit that we could be talking about that, like, no one knows about. and there's not a big magnifying glass on it.
I'm probably going to get flack for this, but I don't know, dude. Out of all my tinfoil hat beliefs, I think the UFO community is more oftentimes than not off base from the truth.
Shit.
I think.
He said it, guys.
Yeah, I said it, not Mary. But here's why. I think, so I personally believe in extraterrestrial life. I think as you would be, you know, off base to assume that there is absolutely nothing else out there. I believe that they probably have came here multiple times. I think there's a lot of ground to the more ancient alien theory. Now, did they come here from Hollow Earth, or did they come from outer space? I don't know, but I just know that at some point or another, they were probably here. We've probably been using their technology.
So then how is UFO...
Because I think they allow themselves to get directed too much by the mainstream nowadays. I think that the...
Some, not all.
Not all, no, not all. And originally, back in the day, you know, it was the OG kind of conspiracy theorist. But I think it's really easy to get too caught up in that and to lose light of the government aspect of the conspiracy theories and kind of the whys behind that. And to me, and I guess it's more just a personal preference, but to me, that's a lot more relevant in our lives today, is to think about like why, you know, the government is there. And of course there's original theories of the government working with the, you know, the aliens for some other ulterior motive.
And I think we'll get into this next article from Matrix Disclosure. So
I really like this article.
It's a good one. I don't know how much of it is on base. Like at one point,
I think they're reaching. Reaching
at one point it says it seems
documents.
That the MJ-12 was the one who ordered the assassination of U.S. President Kennedy. I don't know.
now the like if they're referring to the other theory of the Men in Black, you might be able to argue it. But I think they're really reaching here to say that this is the hidden hand, that the Majestic 12 is the hidden hand. And again, I think there's a hidden hand, but I think they're reaching to say it's the Majestic 12.
But just like anything else in the government and these conspiracies, it's not just one group. It's multiple. We've talked about that in assassination episodes, especially Kennedy's. There are multiple secret hands. It's not just one. And that's what makes it so damn complicated.
Right. The secret hidden hands are supporting the unknown, you know, that no one knows.
So I did think that there was an interesting point in this article. They talk about parallel policy theorists believe that all MJ-12 activities have led the U.S. administration to negotiate with an alien civilization. This main suspicion is aimed at a dangerous exchange of biological extraterrestrial experiments on humans and animals in exchange for providing ultra-advanced technology.
Which
so
is
we're,
like X-Files to a T.
So they're saying that we are giving the alien race, I'm going to dumb it down here for my own edification. we're giving the alien race access to humans and animals and experiments on them in exchange for their advanced technology?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So like basically we'll allow you to operate without being messed with. And mind you, all world governments are in on this. It's not just like it's
that would
just
explain
not
a lot
thing.
Of these alien abductions.
Correct, and that we're going to debunk them all so that the public won't get wise to what you're doing. And then on top of that, in exchange, you give us little tidbits of advanced technology that we now use in our military-industrial complex.
So they actually talk about the Garnet Project as well, which is specifically the MJ-12 has a mission of censoring any credible information about extraterrestrials and deleting all traces of third degree contacts.
Debunking, basically, like you were saying.
So basically, like you said, supporting MJ-12 is like freelancing for the UFOs and the aliens. Like, hey, what else do you need us to debunk? Okay, we'll get right on that. Our hourly rate is $75 an hour. And if you could just, here's our W-9.
Yeah, basically, you know, and they also quote Bill Cooper, who wrote a pretty interesting book. I think it's Beyond the Pale Horse or something along those lines, but it's a great book. Little side note on his book, the real copy is not available today. So the new copy that you can go on Amazon or whatever right now and find it, they removed like three chapters.
Interesting.
And republished it. And the originals are like $300.
And I'll just say too that Bill Cooper is a non-commissioned officer in the Air Force. So again, there's a resource where it's very interesting because he was on the inside at some point in some regard, right? So he's probably privy to some information that, you know, Chandra and Moore from the beginning of this episode were probably not as privy to.
Right, right.
Bill Cooper actually states that during 1970 to 1973, while working for the Pacific Military Fleet headquarters, he had access to two materials. One report number 13 of the Grudge/Blue Book project, and a summary of the majority operation, which would have been linked by an ultra secret official MJ-12. So again, right. he has that access.
Allegedly.
Well, yeah, allegedly. But I mean, it definitely seems more realistic for him to have some information like that than like, hey, I just got this film canister in my mail slot.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, his story seems a little bit more believable. Report 13 would have found data on UFO collapses, recovered corpses, live aliens, photographs, kidnappings, UFO analyzes, etc. Now, there are, according to Cooper, multiple extraterrestrial races which the Americans are in contact with.
Which this is like Joe's favorite.
I love it so much.
The first one.
Yes, we are talking about reptilians. Named because of their skin.
Obviously.
And number two, conformers, which are living silicone-based beings.
That's super interesting.
They're basically living among us, and they can shape-shift to look exactly like us.
Interesting.
Right? And then, of course, the little grays, which are typically what you view as extraterrestrials. They're also known as the Ebony, who originated from the solar system Zeta Reticuli. That sounds a little bit like they're pulling my leg here.
Yeah,
but,
it definitely does.
So this website does a much better job at tying it in to the much bigger picture. And mind you...
Go ahead.
Okay, mind you, I believe in the much bigger picture, okay? The only piece of data here that I'm like, probably bullshit, is the Majestic 12 documents. And also, the Majestic 12 documents don't talk about any of this shit.
And let me just say, too, how many documents the Majestic 12 probably produced in terms of briefings, all of these different things that they probably produce,
right,
that we don't have access to, that probably got into all this.
Right. So,
but
can I
just say,
yes,
something so interesting? So the U.S. government was this article, Matrix Disclosure, also talks about how the U.S. government was to build a number of underground bases in which aliens would be hosted along with their ships and where technology exchanges would take place. So here we go. Tie in, guys. Cooper states that in 1972, aliens were already in five U.S. underground bases. And I'm going to name some states for you. Let me know if any of them stand out. New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, a specific place in New Mexico that I'm not going to try to pronounce. And the last one, Colorado.
You know what's in Colorado?
The Denver International Airport.
Exactly.
Which we talked about.
And what is right next to the Denver International Airport? That ginormous base that's just a little bit
literally
further up,
or
all
how
underground.
About the, like, number of tunnels that run through
or
the bottom of it.
Or how about all the cave systems where there's a massive amount of disappearances every single year?
Sorry.
Do you know why? Because their blood is being fed to the reptilian overlords.
We just literally figured everything out, so you're welcome.
So they're tying it all into the much greater picture, and the theory here, okay... So you think
this
of
would
it,
actually this would actually kind of speak to your hollow earth theory, right? So
exactly,
these,
that's what I'm saying.
If
these there's
caves,
giants and reptilians in the hollow earth,
if these caves and these systems underground go as deep as they're saying in this article, which you definitely should read because it's very interesting, it's like there's a whole world down there. So
well, and like we talked about with hollow earth, about all of the cave system
you sound
and
like
networks,
such a dork right now.
Okay,
and like
whatever.
We talked about in hollow earth.
Dude, all right, hear me out, okay? Think of it like a pyramid, right? This is, I'll make it as simple and clear cut.
The Office.
Think.
I'm at the top.
She's talking about the pyramid scheme.
I don't know
reference.
How to explain it. When he's drawing on the whiteboard and he's drawing
and
like
Jim's
little tick
like, that
marks.
That kind of sounds like a pyramid
scheme.
He
walks up to the whiteboard and just draws a triangle.
But no, think of it like a pyramid, right? And so you have the bottom of the pyramid being the most blind agents of this whole scheme, right? The most blind agents. Then you move up and you have the politicians that are even more blind. They're the puppets. Then you move up and you have the three-letter agencies. Then you move up above that and you have the secret societies. And the secret societies are apparently as close to the tip of the pyramid as possible. But even they don't know exactly who is at the top of the pyramid, right?
Real life Mulder, everybody.
Okay, so the top of the pyramid is what all of these theories are debating about. Who is at the top of the pyramid? This particular theory is saying that there are multiple alien races that are at the top of the pyramid, including reptilians, and that all of these other blind people that are at the arm of the reptilian overlords and the other aliens are feeding into their ultimate game.
All right, Joe's right? officially lost it, everybody. Kay. Say goodbye to Joe.
I'm not saying that that is true. All I'm saying is that is what this theory is saying. Now, I believe...
You sound like that that psycho guy that I watched that interview
David
on.
David Icke.
That says he's like God and stuff.
Icke also believes in the reptilians.
And you know
okay?
why you sound like that? Everybody that's like a conspiracy theorist, they just keep talking and they just talk really fast. So you can't say anything to the contrary, and they'll just be like, and like David Icke had a response for fucking everything, and he was just like, oh yeah, good point, and blah, 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 and that's what you just sounded
all
like.
All I'm saying is that there are, I believe wholeheartedly, 100% in all the bottom parts of the pyramid, like everything to the tippy top, I just don't know for sure. Who is at the top of the pyramid? Now, all these theories, the UFO theories point to aliens, point to reptilians, and all this other stuff. But the funny thing is, a lot more people have absolutely no issue believing in UFOs and extraterrestrials. But then when you throw out reptilians, they're like, oh, no, that's just that's ridiculous. But I'm sorry, if you believe in UFOs without issue, then I don't know how you don't believe in reptilians.
I think it's just a matter of time. I think if you talk about UFOs 20 years ago, people are all across the board going to call you crazy conspiracy theorists. I think modern day, a lot of people, more like quote unquote normal people, have come around to the idea and are willing to, you know, listen to yeah. conspiracy theories and yeah. actually are like, scientifically, this is actually impossible that there's no other beings out in the universe. So I think the same thing goes with reptilians. Give it like 20 years, Joe. Maybe when you're like 60 something years old, you'll get your all time right. in the sun.
Maybe here's the deal, dude. I think personally, like, and this even goes back biblically with the reptilians. Like if you dig into snakes and the other thing and the Egyptians and the shape-shifting shit.
That's the Harry Potter.
We've been on a binge Harry Potter. Harry Potter. We've been on a binge Harry Potter.
Show Harry Potter.
So we've been binge watching Harry Potter. So that's what Mary was just referencing. That's
he can
not,
speak
that's,
to snakes. Okay,
it's called parcel tongue.
It's get parcel tongue.
It's parcel tongue.
Oh my God.
Parcel tongue. Is he a member of the fucking mail service? Delivering
Guys, I'm
parcels?
Sorry. At this point, we're fucking delusional.
No. So just they should have come up with a different name for the reptilians.
Agreed. Okay?
If they didn't call them reptilians, more people would believe it. So whatever. I don't know. I think to wrap it up and to bring it back to the Majestic 12, because honestly, this the Matrix Disclosure website is awesome, but they totally like just take it and run with it in a different direction, and they're not even talking about the Majestic 12
documents
anymore.
No, and there's no resources listed. There's nothing like, it's just kind of like...
In the beginning, they're like, oh, these Majestic 12 documents, and then they take you on a rabbit hole of another theory that is interesting and probably accurate, but is not the Majestic 12, and then they just go over the last 12 members of it at later.
It is interesting, though. They have photos of each of the members and their titles below. Yeah. I'll try to post a lot of their pictures, specifically the ones we mentioned above.
Yeah, but
in the beginning.
To sum it up, I don't believe...
To sum it up, reptilians are real.
Yeah, aside from that... I don't believe in the Majestic 12 documents at all. I think it was totally...
How could you?
I think it was a total fabrication from the dude to spark a lot of want to see his content that was coming out.
I think I agree. I think the Majestic 12 documents themselves are not real, but I think the Majestic 12 were doing very real things in terms of UFO...
Let me say, I think whatever. There was an... agency like the Majestic 12 doing all those things. Were they called the Majestic 12? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, you know, but I mean, for podcast episode's sake, we're going to call them Majestic 12. Fine, we'll be more generalized. Yes, I believe there was a group of 12 men, 13 men, 20 men, whatever it was, that were UFO managers, if you will.
Cleaning men,
managing this theory and all of these different things, or being like the UFO and aliens, like kind of like bitch boy, like, hey, we need you to clean this up, or hey, we need you to debunk this.
Yeah, we just ate like 35 children. So
yeah,
can
hey,
you just, like,
yeah, we really
mop
messed
it
up. We kind of abducted a little too many in this one area, and you need to cover it up. So.
Sanitize. Man, yeah. Sanitation.
Sanitation. So yes, I don't believe in the documents. I believe there was a group doing this. I think that if you were to dig into the people listed that were supposedly in this group, that you'd find some very interesting things. I bet that they were probably in Bohemian Grove. They probably were part of, you know, an array of groups. What's that group that you always are?
What?
The Masons?
The Freemasons?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them were Freemasons and la la la. So,
and all that crazy conspiracy stuff you like.
And like the one is a reptilian, of course, and whatever. So
guys, we'll be like grocery shopping. I've told you this before. And I'll be like, but the reptilian overlords are putting their blood in that bread that you're buying.
And I'm like, Mary's what oatmeal like, do you want?
And Mary's just like, that's nice.
I'm just like, I think I'm going to get a different kind of honey this time.
We need to buy more tinfoil to tinfoil our house.
Oh, God. But yes, this was a fun one.
I think that reps up.
Oh, my God.
It reptilians up.
Guys,
oh, my God.
He's a reptilian. Let's be real.
All right. I think that wraps up episode 18. A little bit of a shorter one, but that's okay. Sometimes they're shorter, you know. Let us know what you would like to hear next. As always, there will be links in the bio to everything that we talked about. We encourage you to do your own research. Stay tuned. We're two episodes away from a bonus Hidden Histories episode, boop, boop, which is always exciting. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for more great content coming soon.